You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Break it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
Welcome to the Geek Parent Radio with Kat and Josh.
We'll be with you for the next 40 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
And today we're going to go right to our topic and we're going to discuss some game development and some STEM education today. We're going to kind of get your creative juices flowing, and then if you're joining us and you're a student and you're interested in some game development in your future, then this will be the episode for you to listen to, because we have some really neat discussions tonight. And in fact, before we went live on air, we were talking about what I finished up dinner. You just said that, didn't you, Josh?
Yes, I did.
Dinner.
Although I don't know if you consider microwave burritos dinner, but.
Well, you know, that's technology. So you hit the nail on the head with that. You've got to have your technology.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like technology and food mixed together. The microwave is the technology of the century. It's just awesome, especially for us geeks who really are not great cooks like myself. Actually, I got back from Buffalo Wild Wings. Shameless plug. I pushed out there. thanks, Buffalo Wild Wings. But I love B-dubs. I love B-dubs. So I had some of that. Well, it was in the process of trying to code some of this stuff on the site, and I was having some CSS problems. Ugh. Oh, my God. My mind was going crazy today because I couldn't get that image. There was an image I couldn't get to show up. And the RSS feed, and if you're just joining us and you have no idea what I'm talking about, then that's okay. But I just want to rant for a minute, because I was spending all day trying to get this image to appear from the RSS feed, and it was annoying the hell out of me. And so I had a friend. I didn't even figure it out. I had one of our friends, one of the guys we used to game with on Star Wars The Old Republic, David. He's really good with that stuff. So he was trying to help me out here, and then he's asking me some questions, and I'm going through it and everything, and he's like, "Oh, you're talking about RSS?" I said, "Yeah." For some reason, I couldn't get the image to call up, and I don't know why the RSS feed isn't working for me. And he's like, "Oh, I'm not good with RSS." And I was like, "You know what? Thanks, David, for spending like half the day with me, and then finally telling me you're not good with RSS."
It's probably just, you know,
okay.
You have a capital letter or a lowercase letter where you should have the opposite, you know, something as simple as that.
It probably is, you know, but I just couldn't get it to work. And I've spent, you know, coding is just, it makes your mind go numb. It's like game development, what we're going to talk about today. And looking at some of the game developments out there, just in some of the way the developers really put their mind to it, it makes you wonder, are they real people? I mean, are they alive? Do they eat?
You know, I took game development in college.
Really?
Yeah,
I noticed you didn't make me a game yet. How good were you?
No, I didn't continue on with game development. I tutored some. I half wrote a game about, you know, fishes in a fish aquarium and feed them math problems, and that's how they grew. And that.
So you grew fish in college, virtually.
Yeah, basically.
This is a good thing. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Josh, because I'm not very good at it either. I you know, struggled a little bit through that aspect. So today we actually have professional with us, and who is in game development. We have Scott Shaw, who is the chair of Wilmington University's game development program, with us. Scott, hi, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Doing just great. we were just talking about some game development and how much Josh and I, when we were in college, we failed drastically at it. So you are the professional here today. So.
Well, it is a challenge.
It is. As much as a lot of people love playing these games, it's a totally different atmosphere when you're the one on the other end of the computer actually doing that. So, much respect for those who are in the game development programs. Now, Scott, just to get right to the point, what exactly does the Wilmington Game Program consist of?
Well, it's a four-year Bachelor of Science degree, so it is a degree in game design and development. And pretty much I think our secret sauce at Wilmington University with this program is the fact that it's kind of a holistic approach to game design and development. And, you know, sometimes we've been criticized about having what some people would call a generalist degree, but I think we're one of the more practical schools out there that kind of put students in front of some really sharp individuals who can share and guide these guys along and gals along that can really kind of take hold of the challenges of game design development. And so we have everything from programming courses to 3D courses, to 3D all the way up to character creation and rigging and getting those characters into a game engine, 2D game creation. There's a whole lot that's packed into 120 credits, along with some general education stuff. So it is a challenging program, but it is, I think, a lot of fun and a lot of challenges for those who are up for it.
I have to, like I said earlier, I have to applaud those that do go into game development because it is such a widespread industry right now. I mean, there's so much you can do in game development.
Yeah.
And, and it's not just a lot of people when they think of game development, I'm sure you get this a lot as well with parents who are wondering, you know, is video game industry and game development really what their kid may be looking for, but a lot of people that play video games just automatically think you play around. You create the characters, you draw them, and then it's there. It's like magic, but there's so much more involved in it. I mean, there really is. What advice would you give to parents who have kids graduating this year and they're interested in going in game development?
Well, one of the major challenges that we have to kind of come to grips with, you know, students are usually very, very passionate about game design development and games in general. It's something that they live and breathe. They may play 10 hours a day, and that's not always, you know, a good indicator of, you know, having a parent go, oh, my son plays games all the time. He would be a great game design and developer because he knows all about them. Or I have a daughter who's really into this one particular game. That's all she talks about. She knows everything about it. And, you know, she's very passionate about it. And she knows all of the info around a particular title. That, all again, doesn't always mean that that's a good candidate for a program or specifically our program. And what we try to do is turn kind of the consumers into the creators. And if we can take that passion, that 10-hour day commitment or that long hours and money and time spent in a specific title and turn that into the creative aspect of it and help them learn the tools necessary to break down all of the elements and effort that does go into creating games, that tends to help parents get a handle on how their student should be or would be well suited for the program. The other side of things is that because it is a challenge, and there's so many diverse aspects and skill sets that students would be getting. There's a lot of flexibility for somebody coming out of the program that is not necessarily rooted in just entertainment and games. There are, you know, the 3D aspect of it and the programming aspect of it. I mean, you combine all of those things and pretty much you could put those skills and talents against, you know, web designers, against computer science, you know, graduates, television and film. There's a lot of aspects that can kind of come about from having the skill set going through a game program. So it's not always, you know, they're going to land that job with a AAA company and start making games, but they may have the fortitude and skill set to take those things and translate it to something else.
Exactly.
Now, I know when I was in college and we, the first semester that we started, we had a game design class. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be really cool. We can actually start to learn to code some games. And it was very simple stuff on the Xbox. And I'm sure that's kind of a lot of kids are going in and they see this, oh, I can get a game degree. You know, I'll be able to do this and this. And like you said, you know, they automatically assume that they're, okay, well, I'm going to go when I graduate, I'm going to get hired by Blizzard. I just know I am. And
right.
What kind of common misconceptions do students make when they decide, you know, they see the glitter, but they don't see all the hard work. And so when they're citing on that, what kind of misconceptions do they have?
A lot of times, you know, they'll see that. They'll say, you know, I have this great idea for a game. But a lot of the things that are missing are the dedication to follow through and get something made. Or just the dedication to, you know, completing the 4 years that are set before them. Because if they can't get through the 4 years of college, they're definitely not going to be able to survive in the job market. So a lot of folks say, I already kind of know all this stuff, but following through on, oh, you went to school for 4 years, you've got this certificate, this degree, this piece of paper that says that you're committed to following through on something is a huge point. Inside all of that, you know, there's the social skills and getting folks that have these great ideas to be able to break it down into actionable items that can be done and follow through on them inside class as well as outside of class. And I have a few students that are just awesome because their performance outside of class, you know, they're going to meetings, they're going to meetups outside of school, they're working on projects outside of school, they're doing other things than just going to class and doing their homework. And sometimes that's a misconception, is that if I just do all my work and submit all my assignments and show up for class, that I'm just going to get a job. And that's not always the case. It's really the folks that go above and beyond and actually apply the knowledge that they're getting from the coursework and from going to school that can take it to that next step and say, here's something that I made by myself or by my, you know, with a team of people that I put together outside of a class assignment, and that can roll up those things that are inside the program but can actually learn to apply it in real-life situations and do things with it. Say, here's my game, let's play it and test it out. Those are the ones that are going to be successful.
Right, and, and that's, you hit the nail on the head with that too, because that's true to life in any aspect. And I think, especially with the gaming industry right now, with the way kids are so into games, and they can be educational. They can be, you know, the first-person shooter, third-person shooter, MMORPGs, you know, all kinds of games that they do get stuck on that fantasy world. And I think getting out and socializing, which is also equivalent to the networking aspect of the business and everything, that makes a big difference. Because if you have a lot of kids who are playing video games, they're isolating themselves. And it's really good to still get out and talk to people and you know, get involved with other things and do the meetups and participate after school. And I think the drive for that is so important. So I think you're right on the head with that misconception that the kids do need to get out and they do need to socialize more and get involved more than just sitting and working on the computer for that. Which brings me to my next point of the East Coast reboot that's coming up. And that consists of the several competitions, getting the kids out to compete with each other. Tell us a little bit about the East Coast reboot.
East Coast Reboot is an event that happened last year. We had about 70 people participate. We had 16 different competitions that were offered. And this year we have 13 different competitions. We've whittled down some that weren't, you know, as productive as we would have liked. But we've got some really good tightened up competitions. Everything from Photoshop Fight Night, which is a design battle head-to-head with 16 other people or whoever signs up for this. I think we had 16 last year. But, you know, you may be given a task to design an album cover in the next 30 minutes, which is not a lot of time when you're designing. And it's very intense design battle. So if you're really good at Photoshop, this would be a really fun event to do. But that's just one of the 13. We have everything from Best Photo. We have a film race. We have a game jam where you're going to build a game in 3 days. The film race is over 3 days. We have a 3D modeling project competition. We have best use of HTML. We have photojournalism design and print. We have a capture the flag for the computer network security folks or hacker types that want to come in and test their networking skills. You know, there's just a lot of varied competition around all of the things that we teach at the College of Technology at Wilmington University. So it's really a time for anybody, and this is usually from high school on up. And we've got last year we had Microsoft as one of our main sponsors. This year we're trying to lock down GoPro. We're still waiting to hear back from them. We've got Unity, which is our game engine. They've given us licenses in the past to give away and to have on test machines during the competition. We've got given away a Wacom tablet, Microsoft 365, you know, a bunch of different things. So lots of different plugins from vendors for video editing and video enhancements. There's motion graphics competitions. So it's really a high-intensity whirlwind of tech challenges. And to even mix it up further, on Saturday we're having Wilmu Music Fest. So there's a music event that kicks off in our green with food truck vendors and everything else. So it's going to be a really fun time. I've got a local vendor by the name of GeForce Hobbies. We're going to have a Proto X, which is a very small quadricopter. We're going to have an obstacle course, and the fastest time through the obstacle course can win one of the little drone quadricopters. So it's a lot of fun. It's very high energy, very high intensity of competitions, because there's not a lot of time to sit and dawdle and figure out what you're going to do. You just have to move forward and do it. Mm-hmm. We've got folks like 1313 Innovation down in Wilmington who are coming out on Friday evening to have tables set up and talk to participants and tell more about what their initiatives are, as well as a bunch of different things. My Sherpa is also has been a sponsor in the past. So there's just a ton of different people, and I apologize if I didn't get everybody in that has contributed to the success of this thing. But, you know, our alumni department with Stephanie Whitby, she's really helped kind of put this thing around, because it's one of the things that we like is involving our alumni. Excuse me. And, you know, we have 34,000 alumni from the school, and we have some of those guys who are also instructors for us that have their own businesses that are coming in to help us with this event. So it's a really neat time. It's $10. You get a T-shirt and lunch on Saturday. and a bunch of exposure to a lot of people who are in the realm of what, you know, like-minded individuals want to be doing. So it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
You can, you know, of course, go to our website, wilmu.edu/ECRB. So East Coast Reboot, information is all there. And are you guys going to come out?
Now, is this open to anybody, or is it just students, or?
No, it's open to anybody who wants to compete. You pay your registration, you can come in and compete.
Cool. I can't make it. I'm in the middle of Indiana, so.
That's a little far.
Yeah, it'd be a bit of a drive. So who were some of the winners last year?
Last year, we had Team Exalt walk away with the best game. And those guys have since broke off and done their own company called Heavy Key Studios, which, you know, they run a business out of our labs as an incubator, which has been one of our success stories. They've also gone on Train Jam, which happened back in, I guess, first week of March or last week of February, which they rode a train out to the Game Developers Conference and made a game. So those guys won last year. Of course, they haven't stopped.
Wow.
There's Johan Wei, who actually works at the university. He entered the Photoshop Fight Night, and our students gave him a really good run for his money. And he had won the Wacom tablet from Photoshop Fight Night. Johnny Doris had won the 48-hour film race, and he's had a couple successes in print and, you know, exposure out there in the world. Those are the ones that I can remember off the top of my head. But there is a winner in each of those categories, and the winners are all up on the website as well from last year.
See, the Photoshop
now,
one would be pretty cool for me.
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah.
Josh is into that stuff. He likes to create things with Photoshop, and I think he's really good with that stuff. So
cool.
This would have been a wonderful competition for him to enter, because I would
have
been right
year.
There backing you up there, Josh. Yes,
maybe
next year. Now,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, Scott, I will be there Saturday the 2nd.
Yes.
And I'll be hanging
yeah.
out with you guys to enjoy the socialization and watch the brilliant intellect and creativity gravitating around the room. So I'm really excited, and I'm definitely going to be rooting for everybody and making sure that thegeekparent.com knows more about East Coast Reboot. So this is what, the second year?
This is the second year.
We've got to make some more history for this, because and announcements, because this is a great program at Wilmington University. And what was the website again, Scott?
It's Wilmu, so WILMU.edu/ECRB.
Okay, and we will have that linked on our website as well as some of the social medias in case anybody wants to stop by and hang out. Scott, it was so nice talking with you. Every single time I talk with you, there's so much more that I want to speak with you about, but I know that you're so busy and you have so many things going on. You're just such a great guy to get along with. So, I'm really sorry we have to cut it short here, but
I will
see you on Saturday the 2nd, and we can talk some more, and you can show me around to some of these really awesome students you have. And we will be passing this on, the East Coast Reboot, which is at Wilmington University. And we're speaking with Scott Shaw, who is the chair of Wilmington University Game Program. Scott, thank you so much for taking the time for
us
tonight.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, and take care.
Thanks, you too.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
So speaking of game programs and programming and everything, I actually, the school that my kids go to is very, very much into the technology and the game development and the STEM education. And my sons are very, very much into it as well. So we went to we stopped by during one of their conferences, and we went into the 3D printing room. And
okay.
My son is very—he's very much into my son Rob. You know some of the drawings that he does.
Yeah.
You know he does those landscape and vehicle drawings, and they're just spectacular. And then my son Alex does a lot of the anime drawing as well. So they're both really interested in games and artwork. And of course, with games comes the audio, the visual, the creativity and everything. You have to have all that. So we went into the 3D printing room, and this stuff is just amazing. It makes me want to make an absolute village out of this printing stuff. Your own little video game with 3D print stuff. It's so neat.
You make your own game, your own board game.
Yeah, that's right. You could certainly do that. But I was talking with the teacher there, and she was talking about how they were going to start doing video games in the classrooms. And I thought, what a great idea. And so I ended up finding some information from Kate Cohen with School Matters, and she talks a little bit about how video games in the classroom are changing the way kids are learning. So I'm going to play this for you just for a little bit, and I'm going to let parents kind of take this in on how video games in the classroom are changing the way kids are learning today.
Hi, this is Kate Cohen on behalf of the Hertz Furniture School Matters blog. Today we're going to learn about some of the latest efforts to get commercial video games in the classroom. That's right. Commercial first-person video games in the classroom. Sounds like the end of education as we know it? Well, maybe it is, and maybe that's not a bad thing. When I first saw this headline on sfgate.com, I admit I was a bit shocked. I had never thought that a game by the makers of Sims, shown here, would end up in the classroom. But this is the 21st century, people, and times are changing. In Sim City, the player is mayor, and this data-rich universe has the player making choices with realistic consequences for the city and its citizens. As the city's mayor, the player is responsible for building roads and other infrastructure, zoning for residential, commercial, and industrial districts, budgeting city funds, levying taxes, and dealing with real-life dilemmas as they arise. The urban planning game has actually been used for educational purposes since the first version came out in 2003. And now the makers of SimCity, Electronic Arts, want to get SimCity into the classroom. To do so, they've launched Glass Lab, a collaborative effort between game makers and educators that hopes to be a central resource for teachers who want to use games in the classroom. Glass Lab is behind SimCity EDU. And just to get an idea of the kind of support Glass Lab is receiving, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the John D. and Catherine MacArthur Foundation have given a combined $10.3 million in grants to Glass Lab. So is this the future of education? And if it is that a good thing? A lot of current educational games for kids can't match the intricacy and realism of a game like SimCity. If teachers are to compete with the digital media that kids are consuming outside of school, maybe they need tools that are more motivating and engaging. I have to admit that I am totally fascinated by SimCity and tempted to actually try it out myself. And this is from someone who hasn't bought a video game since the 80s. As a teacher, I'm also very tempted by the possibility that this virtual world has for teaching subjects like financial literacy, subjects that I've found difficult to teach when I can't really recreate real life accurately in activities in the classroom. But I'm still hesitant. I have a big fear of the addictive qualities of games like these. And in fact, in a recent Glass Lab blog post about the use of SimCity in a California classroom, the writer observed that the students were so excited by the game that they wanted to skip recess. I hope the teacher didn't let them. One of the 21st century skills that we're all still trying to learn is how to find balance between this virtual digital world and our real lives. I can imagine a future like scenes from the popular science fiction novel Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card, in which students learn everything within various simulated environments. I think we can all agree that we need to remember that these environments and digital worlds are meant to help us think and work in the real world, not take the real world over. Of course, the two may be melding at a rate that we can no longer control. Have commercial video games made their way into your classroom? We'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences.
Well, we're right into the app of the week, and this week's app of the week is called Tinker. It's T-Y-N-K-E-R. It's available for both iOS and Android. Cat, there you go. Both of them. It's now for iOS. It's just for the iPad. It does not have an iPhone version. Honestly, you couldn't really do it. But what Tinker is, it is a companion app to the website Tinker, which is www.tinker.com, T-Y-N-K-E-R. And this website teaches children how to code. And it does it in a real simple little way of where they drop these little icons on, and these icons are basically snippets of code, and they drop them in, and they can only fit in certain ways, and they have little keys on them. And one of the beginner ones for the iPad app was you have this cowboy running onto the screen, and then this zombie chases after him, and then he runs onto another screen, and he screams zombies, and the zombie comes chasing after him, and then this little pink monster comes off from the side of the screen. And then it teaches you how to code, and it goes into an explanation. And you go in, and you can, you know, make the cowboy run more and run off the screen again. And basically, the cowboy has a little script set up so that when you call out what's called cowboy.run, the cowboy runs and he does all the little activity that script calls for. And you can go in and you just drop these little snippets in and it automatically does it. And then you can go in and you can change these snippets so that the cowboy runs or the cowboy dances or jumps or whatever you want to do. It has tons of different screens and as a cowboy and like it's zombies and, it's really cool app, our companion app to the website that teaches kids all about coding. You have a beginner's level, then you can have that's free. Then the next beginner's level is $50, but you get that, and if you can have it for all your kids. And then they have a couple intermediate levels. And then they have a couple advanced levels, and there's a bunch of different things. It's not all about making a zombie chase a cowboy across the screen. They have music apps where you can make music. They have platform shooters, side scrolls, puzzles. They have a bunch of different things all focused on teaching children how to code. And once your children get better, as they get older and they get better and they start mastering items, it actually changes it from the little snippets or pictures to actually teaching them, well, this is what the code is behind it, and this is how you would create it, this is how you would write it, and then it teaches them how to write the code of everything that they've been playing with. So it's a very cool app. Fits perfectly with Game Design Week, and it's one that I've been kind of keeping track of. It is open to parents and teachers and children. I have a parent account, and then I have so far one child on it. I have yet to get him to try it. The other two, I think they'd have fun. It's just I got to get him past the, you know, from playing games to actually trying to make some cool games. So.
Right. Right. This is awesome.
Go ahead. It is. It's very awesome.
It's really, you know, and it's if you're a parent and you have not seen this yet, I would really highly recommend you go to tinker.com, T-Y-N-K-E-R. My kids would love this. This is a very basic starting step for coding. And it is adorable. I mean, it is just absolutely, I wish they had this for me when I was in college learning HTML. Because it really, and it actually, it reminds me, if any of you are past the, I mean, if any of you remember this type of program, it was called Hot Dog. And what Hot Dog was, is had the buttons on the sides, like a little panel of what I want to do. I wanted to insert a picture in a certain spot. Well, when I insert the picture, it put the code in there, so I could see the code. Okay. You know, and it kind of reminds me of that when I was coding HTML. But this one is more, you know, the students learn fundamental programming, the concepts, variables, loops, functions, I mean, the whole shebang of this. And it's a visual way of learning. And then you go from the visual to the coding aspect, where, and that's the way a lot of kids learn. I mean, you learn the fundamentals first. Yeah. It's amazing, Josh. This is an absolutely amazing it's the website, and then the app goes with it, right?
You can do the app separate, it is, if you have an account for the website, then you can just sign in, and it links the two together you, as a parent, you can check out how your child's doing. And kind of check in on their project without them, without feeling like you're hovering or you're being, you know, snoopy. Although my kids already know that I'm gonna be snoopy anyway. So
that's me. I agree, especially when it comes to game development. And I'm gonna be like, wait. Why did you make the dragon blue? Mom, go away. Make your own game.
At least it's not a purple dinosaur. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, that is true. But I love this. I think, and it's teachers. If you're a teacher or you're in the educational field, honestly, look this up. It is an absolutely amazing website, and I am definitely going to try this with my son who has his heart set on working in the game development industry. This is great. This is a great beginner courses and self-paced. It's really worth it. I really, really think this is worth it. I never knew about this, Josh. This is amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And that's tinker.com. We will put that on our website as well. That's T-Y, not T-T-I, so it's T-Y.
Yes, it's T-Y. Make sure you get that correct. I don't know where T-I will bring you. It may be some nefarious site.
That's right. So
now this week's Tech of the Week is, surprise, surprise, another Kickstarter object. So this project is, it kind of goes perfect with the theme song because it is like a little briefcase. It's like this little spy briefcase. And what it is it's called Piper. And it is a little wood box that the lid has a screen in it. And in it, it has it is a little Arduino computer. And what you do is you put the box together and you build it, and then you start the little game that it has that comes with it, and it's a Minecraft game. It's a specialized Minecraft game, though. It's just not where Steve's dropped in the middle of the world and you have to build stuff. In this, you are a robot, and you have to save astronauts on a planet. I don't remember which planet off the top of my head, but you have to save astronauts on this planet, and you're not quite working right. And so as you build the box and you tinker, you repair certain aspects of the robot, and you go through and you basically build a robot and try to save the day. And it's really one of those educational type projects where that's STEM education, teaches kids a little bit. It's not so much teaches them coding, but it teaches them, you know, how to build computers, how to build gadgets and engineer things. And it's a really very cool little game to get your kids, if your kids love Minecraft already and they have that type of mindset where they really like to get in and tinker stuff, which all, you know, all kids do at certain ages, then this is a perfect piece to get them away from the computer screen and just concentrating on that and getting them engaged in building something and a, you know, tactile feel to as you create something and the impact it has to your character on the screen. So it's a very cool item that I hopeful to get for the kids to try sometime.
I think it's a great thing as well, and it does, and it works in a lot of aspects of game development. If you're thinking of, again, it's called Piper. It's a Minecraft toolbox, and we'll add the link onto our website and if you're interested in either supporting or purchasing this. But one of the objects is that it brings a lot of logic and creative thinking to the child. And, for instance, it's an exercise. How many other uses can you come up with for a brick?
Yeah.
Now, honestly, this gets a child thinking, okay, what can I do with a brick? I'm sure that you can think of 3 to 6 things that you can do with, you know, off the bat with a brick. But to come up with like 40 different things is pretty phenomenal. But that gets them thinking. That gets their mind thinking, their juices flowing, their creativity going. Now, when you're dealing with something like this, you also want to look at it like game development, because you're not just going to have 3 to 6 quests or how to solve that quest. You're going to have to think of several different ways that 40 million people in the world might be thinking up at the same time, because when they're playing your game, they're going to go, now, why didn't the developer add this?
Yep.
Because
that's
what gets you the kids thinking, and that's exactly how game development is brought up. But I love this. I think it's a great thing. It's Piper, Minecraft toolbox, and we will add that onto our website. You just come up with some amazing things, Josh. So I really appreciate you bringing up the Minecraft one. I think that would be really cute. And it's a cute little box, too. Cute little box.
It is a very cute little box, and it's Minecraft. And Minecraft is one of those games that, we try to keep our kids so they don't, their game time down, so they're not sitting there playing all the time. But Minecraft is one of those that I don't have a problem with letting the kids sit down. Now, they all have little nabby tablets, and they'll sit there, and Jaden will build stuff for hours on end and show me, and roller coasters and computers, and he builds all these really cool things, and I don't have a problem with that.
Right. I think he's going to be much like Daddy, too. That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, time flies when we're having fun, and that's it from the Geek Parent Radio. We thank you for allowing us into your homes or your office this evening. The links, photos, and more information on anything we discussed tonight can be found from our website at thegeekparent.com.
You can also keep updated with our discussions, upcoming guests, and future topics on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Just visit our website and click the social media links.
And enjoy the rest of your week. We look forward to talking with you again right here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Until then, I am Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler. See you next week. Same geek time, same geek channel.